Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
And
Jonah Doo.
In the house.
Love it. Thank you guys so much for your support over the past week and a half for our Tantrum House Season 8 Kickstarter. We are wrapping that up. We're recording this early, a little bit early on this episode, so we don't know how amazingly successful it was, but I'm sure that listeners like you helped us achieve great things.
Today is, we're recording this on the 16th.
This is pre-launch, actually.
Pre-launch, and this will be live during our Kickstarter campaign.
Sweet.
So go check it out.
That's right. It's not over yet. There's still more to learn. If you want to hear even more details, we put out a very short episode last week where we talked about a lot of the promos and some of the fun stuff that's going on. Definitely worth looking at, or more importantly, just go to kickstarter.tantrumhouse.com. And you can see everything that we got going on for the campaign. If you're listening to this on Monday when the episode launches, I think the campaign ends this coming weekend.
Next Tuesday.
You got a whole week. But don't wait. Go check it out right now. All right. So we definitely should talk a little bit more about the Kickstarter at some point in the show. In this episode, though, we're going to talk about some board gaming mistakes that we've made. It's going to be great. Stick around for later in the show. Right now, let's talk about some of the games we've had on the table recently. What's some of the games that you guys have been playing?
I just played Power Failure for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually pretty good. I didn't realize there was, like, a stacking.
A dexterity.
I don't know if it's dexterity per se, but when you have, when you're tired and you have essential tremors and it's hard to hold things steady, it's killer. I never did it.
You always knocked it over.
I think I was able to get it like five high, so two more than the base. I couldn't get that sixth one on. If Larry had
too much
stacked
carbon.
It up at all, I was not able to like get it and get it to stick. I was just discarding cards every time.
The weakness.
So funny.
The kryptonite. I think we've talked about it on previous episodes. That's the one from Genius Games where you are trying to build power plants to fuel your city and get lots of points, but you do have the punishment. It's not really the punishment. The cost of having to stack some stuff.
And if you fail at stacking, if it falls over, you just end your turn.
Right.
And everybody has to discard. Everybody, so it was hurting Larry, too.
Everyone else hates you, too.
I had an amazing tableau I just couldn't ever execute because every time, knocking this thing over.
That is the worst. That's super funny. I actually enjoyed it because if you don't have essential trimmers, then it's actually like a pretty, hold your breath, stack it up. You feel really
don't
successful.
Exhale,
don't
Will
exhale.
Knocks it all down.
When you make that turn, definite dilemma if you are shaky.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'd like to, we didn't get to play the whole game, so I'd like to see how badly I was going to lose.
Yeah, you could have somebody else you could tap in, like, okay, Katie, you put this
off. I wasn't even knocking it over. It was just like the piece I was putting down, I'd try to release and I'd just flick it off. Like, like, oh, come on.
It'd be entertaining to watch. I wish I had watched that one.
Melissa and I have been playing Rolling Realms, which we can finally talk about. And I don't think anybody else has played this.
Is this a secret, like NDA, don't tell Will about it?
Correct.
It's awesome.
And this is the next Stonemaier game that Jonah didn't even get to play it.
No, you kept it a secret over there.
Kept it a super secret. We were going to bring it tonight and play it, but we had so many other games to play before our 12-hour gaming marathon. We had to get those in. So we will bring Rolling Realms next time. But Melissa and I can talk about it. This is actually a game that Jamie Stegmaier designed during the pandemic. And it's very unique. It's a roll and write style game.
Yes. So basically last year he would go on Facebook Live, YouTube, and play iterations of it. And a bunch of people would print it out and play with him. And then he'd get some feedback.
So it's not super secret.
Right. I did hear about this now that we're talking about it.
Right. So this went over the course of weeks, months. And then he decided to actually publish a final version.
Well, I think he actually had a print in place. And then people wanted it so bad to have a published version that he's like sort of
okay.
Right. But the published version is different than the print and plays. It is more polished, and I think he's changed some of the rules, so it's not like, oh, I'll just go use the old version, because it is different. And it plays 1 to 6 players, and there are 11 realms in the game, and each realm corresponds to one of his published games. Oh. So there's a viticulture and a charter stone and a scythe and tapestry, all of those. And it's basically a kind of glossy card, and there are dry erase markers. It's a roll and write, so you roll the 2 dice, and you're going to have 3 of the 11 realms in front of you for each round. Each player has the same 3. And you're going to use one of the results of one die to fill in one of your realm cards and the result of the other die to fill in another one. But the number values will determine what slots you can fill in. And each card is going to score differently. Mm-hmm. The way you fill in the boxes are different. For tapestry, it's kind of like a Tetris-like puzzle where a 3 corresponds to like the T piece and a 4 corresponds to like the corner piece. And so based on the die roll, you would draw in those shapes, mm-hmm. trying to cover certain things and fill in boxes.
Whereas in the scythe, you're trying to maximize and be efficient with your top row and your bottom row actions. And the society, which actually is based off of Red Rising, you're trying to place numbers in a pyramid, but have the higher numbers on top and the lower numbers on the bottom. And how you do that is going to get you stars. Stars are which basically give you points.
Yeah, so you basically play 3 rounds in a game, and you're going to have 3 realms each round. So you're going to play with 9 of the 11 during a game. And the combinations, so if in one game I have the society, viticulture, and wingspan as the 3, that's going to be played differently than in another game where I have wingspan with charterstone and between 2 cities, because the strategies are slightly different. You're also collecting resources. There are pumpkins, hearts, and coins, and you can spend them throughout the rounds to modify your dice, to gain more dice, to 3 pumpkins is very powerful because it lets you put a die value on a card that you've already used that turn. Because normally, oh, I got an extra die. Oh, I have to put it in the card that I haven't used yet. But if I spend 3 pumpkins, I can put it on a card that I've already used. And so there's lots of comboing going on and trying to figure out the best way to use the die values. Do I want to, you know, change the die value? Do I want to get an extra die? That sort of stuff. So
what weight, or like what would you compare to on other roll and write types of games? Is it Hadrian's Wall?
No. This I would put on the very easy roll and write game. I mean, even easier than like a Ganshan Clever.
Okay.
Like it's
so pretty straightforward.
Because all you're really doing is picking the die values and placing them on your cards. Now, to be really good at it, you're going to try and be more strategic, but literally all you're doing is marking off die values on your
each turn or whatever.
Yeah, I think there are 11 realms and they all score differently, but each round you're only looking at 3 of them. Mm-hmm. So you only have to learn 3 at a time, which I think keeps the cognitive load down. It's not like, let me explain all
everything.
11 of these to you before we play. It's like, okay, we've randomly picked 3. We're all playing with the same ones. Mm-hmm. Let's just look at how these 3 work.
Okay, cool.
So I think that really helps. It's lots of variability, but also not too overwhelming during the round that you're playing.
So he is planning to publish it.
It is being published. It's actually on the boat now, and I think he's taking pre-orders this week.
Cool. Fast moving. Love it. Yeah. One of the games that we got to play tonight was Gargoyles, The Ascent. I don't remember what the subtitle was.
The Awakening.
Which brought back some great, 1990s nostalgia as I remembered all the characters' names and all their stats. No, they didn't have stats in the show, but it was fun to play it's a cooperative game. You've got a cool city cardboard build out with 3D buildings, and you are trying to stop the bad guys. You have different missions. It was a lot of fun. I think we actually, when you watch this, we'll have already played it on our 12-hour if you want to get a look at that.
Yes, and hopefully Will didn't do a mistake.
When we say mistake, you guys killed me.
No, you were in the wrong spot.
Oh, was I? Feel like it was like, let's kill Will. He's the closest, even though there's 2 other people right next to him.
This is a cooperative game.
Exactly. This is my point. Something happened. I don't know what happened. Team of our will. Let Amy get away.
This was the introductory scenario.
We did. We lost the introductory.
Come on.
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully, we do better on the 12-hour. One other game we got to talk about tonight. I didn't play it, but I did enjoy part of it.
Oh, Kim Joy's Magic Bakery?
Yeah. So the game looked fun. The raspberry pavlova, or however you say that.
It came with a dessert recipe that mainly Katie, but Sarah joined in at the end there to bring up some, would you add some icing? No, some.
I added the.
The joy.
The joy.
I added the joy.
There's part of the recipe, you basically make a.
Like a whipped topping.
Whipped cream type thing. So I made that because Katie was missing a couple ingredients.
Katie spent, got the main. I don't know how much time she spent on the actual
deliciousness.
Meringue?
At least an hour because she went to the wrong store to pick it up. So
just travel time alone. Yeah.
Wait, pick up what? The ingredients?
Yeah, the ingredients.
Oh, okay. Because like these are handmade.
Well, I mean, waiting an hour. I mean.
Oh. Well, I will say, and she was creative because we had. The recipe called for a raspberry pavlova. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she added chocolate to one of them, and then there was like a mixed berry one. So
they were delish. I think we might have pictures on Instagram. You got to check those out because they were great.
So the whole reason why a
why we're talking
recipe
about dessert about the game
came with the game is because it is designed partially by Kim Joy, who was a contestant on the Great British Baking Show?
Great British Bake Off.
Bake Off, yes. She was a contestant a few years ago, and she partnered with Skybound Games to make this game, Kim Joy's Magic Bakery, where it's a cooperative game where you are collecting ingredients to make these different recipes, and all of the cards have these whimsical characters on them because it's a magic bakery, like, in a forest.
Oh, in a forest.
Because she's really known when she was on her season for very whimsical desserts, and she loved little, like, animals, characters, and she's also a big board gamer.
Yay!
So that's how the whole baking and board game thing kind of came together. So this is a cooperative game where you have to collect, like, eggs and butter and sugar and then turn those into icing and creme pat, and then turn those into like chocolate torts and actual recipes. So there's several steps to get to the recipes that the customer wants.
So it teaches you to bake while you play.
Sure. Yeah, it's a hand management game, tableau building sort of, as you're trying to collect the ingredients.
Cool stuff. Well, I'm glad that it inspired deliciousness. Let's jump from deliciousness into a shout out from our sponsors.
In this episode, we have two sponsors, and both of them have games that are currently on Kickstarter. We have Wild Serengeti, which I believe Sarah talked about a little bit in our last episode, but this is a game with lots of animal meeples that you are putting out on a board, and you're trying to get the animals in different configurations to match cards that you have. I believe your videographers that are capturing the wonder and beauty of the animals on the Wild Serengeti with your cameras. And we have a playthrough video and an overview video for Wild Serengeti by Bad Comet Games. It is currently on Kickstarter. Our other sponsor is Pretty Princess Palmello, which is a card battling game that plays in about 45 minutes for 2 to 4 players. This is also currently on Kickstarter. And you're playing as you're trying to get different teams of heroes together, of these princesses that have alignments. So you're trying to get all a full team of characters that have the same alignment and control the Citrine Hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's how you win. It's a card battling game. So you're battling against the other players.
I think this is based off an IP.
Possibly you're trying to form a team of princesses or pirates as you build your team. and there's lots of kind of an anime style art to the game, very colorful with the different princesses and magical items. So you're playing these cards to attack others and to get your team to be the best team. And that is Pretty Princess Pomelo.
Let's keep looking at Kickstarters in our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about four Kickstarters, and these have dates from August 23rd through September 8th, I believe.
Yep.
Kevin, start us off.
Sure. So on August 31st, the end of August, IV Games is launching Mythic Mischief. You might be familiar with this company. They put out a game called Moonrakers, which I know Will and Sarah really enjoyed.
Yeah, a very cool one.
This one is Mythic Mischief, which is set in a sort of mythical manner, high school sort of realm, and you are a different school, high school students, and you are in a library.
You could just say it's Harry Potter in a library. Let's just cut to the chase on that.
Well, it's actually, you have different factions. Yeah. So you have like the wizards, the monsters, the vampires.
Yeah, so you have different like mythical...
Mythical school.
Mythical school. Thank you. Yes. Mythical manor.
There we go.
For Mythical Mischief. And you are actually trying to move your students that you control. You have three students that you're controlling on the board. And you're trying to do things to move the other students on the board, your enemies, onto the Tome Keeper, who's also traveling around the board, and he's going from different spaces on the board that are already sort of preset around the board, but there's walls in the way, and there's clutter on the board, and he's moving around, and you're basically trying to get the other students, pushing them or moving them into the path of the Tome Keeper. So when the Tome Keeper moves, he sort of like runs into them.
Have you guys played Nuns on the Run? Is it
we have played Nuns on the Run.
Is it similar to that?
No, Nuns on the Run's a one versus many, but I mean, I can sort of see the similarities in that. But yeah, it's a different, different game, but good question.
Yeah, because in this one, all the pieces are on the board, so you can see where everyone is. There's no hidden movement. I played the Wizards, and I could teleport, so kind of swap places with a enemy team member.
You could also teleport yourself, too.
Yes. I could move bookcases to change the path. I go over here, and if I move this bookcase this way, now he's going to go towards Kevin. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of spatial aspects going on in the game of, okay, I know he's going to take four steps, and he's going to go, he has to get to this space over here. He's going to take the quickest path. So if I can move the elements around in the room, he'll take a different path and hopefully he'll get Kevin instead of me. Kevin was monsters and he could throw me.
Yes, I was Frankenstein's monster. So I could throw diagonal and adjacent. And I was basically just throwing Melissa's wizards in the path of the... I think it was very competitive in that I feel like even though there were asymmetric powers, I feel like it was a really close game. I was able to win in the very end when the last time we played. It was a tight game. But there are other factions that you can play. We will be doing a playthrough of this soon, so definitely check that out. That's Mythic Mischief, a game for 1 to 4 players from IV Games. It's going over to Jonah.
Yeah, coming to Kickstarter on September 7th is the game 11, Football Manager board game. And that is from Portal Games as the publisher. So if you know anything about football or soccer, right, it's you've got 11 players.
European.
Right, football.
Football,
right.
Yes.
You've got 11 players on the pitch at any time. And this game is just about managing that aspect of it. So... honestly, this when I kind of read through what this game is about, it really reminds me of like manager mode on FIFA, for Nintendo or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you play that, and it really just sounds like they converted that into a board game. So that's
trying
actually
to get your best team.
Super popular.
Yeah.
But it's so it says it's like all about the economic strategy of the game. Your task is to manage and grow your own football club over the course of a season. During the game, you hire staff members and trainers, physical therapists, PR specialists, directors, acquire sponsors, expand your stadium infrastructure. And it's actually a scenario-driven game. So it looks like there's six scenarios that are coming in the game. It's going to challenge you with different situations and goals for your season. And your end goal is to have your football club climb up the ranks and the steps of the football leagues and achieve the appropriate experience. And that way you can learn how to manage your club through crises and have a team of football players who can try to compete and win the game. So
yeah, and we'll have an overview video coming out.
We will. We sure will. Anyway, but that's 11, Football Manager Board Game from Portal Games, and that is coming to Kickstarter on September 7th. Will, what game are you looking at?
I am checking out The Artemis Odyssey from Grand Gamers Guild. So The Artemis Project came out 2 years ago, a little while ago. This is kind of a another spiritual successor. Was that this episode or last episode? this is built in the same universe. It's a design by Bruno Feduti and Serge Laggett. They actually designed Ad Astra, which is the original version of this game. And this is kind of the refined, just improved version of that. It's got brand new art that puts it in the Artemis Project realm. It's a 1-5 player game where you are exploring the galaxies. So you've got some spaceships that you're flying around to different solar systems. You're uncovering planets. You can then build different resource gathering structures on them. So you might build like a colony or a factory, and you then collect the resources that that planet makes and add it to your inventory. And then you use those inventory items to build more structures and more terraformers and more ships and things to send out to fly around the galaxy. The interesting part about the game is that there's like a programming aspect to it where everybody has the same card actions generally, and you play those to a programming board. Everybody plays them to them, and then you reveal the cards in card order. Whoever played the card kind of gets to make the decisions on how the card is read. So you might have a move action that is revealed, and the red player's card is active. So the red player says, all right, we're going to this planet over here. The interesting thing is that the red player's cards only show like half the planet. So he can only travel to half the planets himself. He has to rely on other players playing their move action to be able to get to explore other planets. Same goes for the resource gathering. Your resource cards will only show two resources on it. So that player gets to pick what is going to be harvested from that planet. And so you may never, you know, blue player says he's going to reveal food and he's going to collect, everybody that's on a food planet will collect food. Oh, shucks, I don't even have anybody on a food planet. There's also some trading that can happen in the game, very Settlers of Catan-like, where you can negotiate with other players to get the cards that you actually need because you may not have a resource on one of those planets. And then the scoring in the game, the way that works is that you play a scoring card. When that card is revealed, you decide what on that card you're going to score. You might be scoring your planets, or you might be scoring who has the most control of an area. And then everybody scores. Whoever has the highest score from what you scored gets two extra bonus points, and whoever has whoever got the least points off of that goal card gets two negative points. So it's actually possible to, you start the game with 7 points, and it's actually possible to like lose points over the course of the game, which is painful.
Which didn't happen to me, though. I believe I blew you away.
Blew me away. Let's rein it down a little bit. I felt bad for Liam when he played it. He didn't quite grasp like when to play his goal cards, so he was definitely in the negative. And the game does kind of swing. The interesting thing is, two or three players could play a goal card on the same turn, and so first player scores 4 points and is way ahead, but then on the next one he loses 2 points, and then on the next one he loses 2 points. So there's a couple different game end triggers. You can either hit like 77 points, I think, to win the game immediately, or if all of the planets in the entire solar system have been discovered and flipped over, then you play a final round and the game ends that way as well. Anyway, if you enjoyed Ad Astra, you should definitely check this one out. It's going to have, I think we have a preview video of it, and we have just prototype components that we're showing off. But we have a playthrough too. Oh, yeah, we will. Is that going to be live already?
Not when this episode goes live, but it'll be this week.
During the show, the campaign. But the real final version will have minis and some additional cool art. I didn't even talk about Alien Planet, so check out the playthrough to learn more about the Artemis Odyssey on Kickstarter. Sarah, what game are you looking at?
Super Truffle Pigs is hitting Kickstarter on August 24th. This is from Bicycle and designer Jason Karras. This game, you have a little map of the forest and you control a couple of pigs who are out searching for truffles. And they're on the board. You are moving and programming your pigs to move around. And then depending on what type of truffle, they are spending actions to dig them up. And some of them, they're face down, and some of them take a couple of actions to be able to dig them up. They're a little deeper. And those ones, the probability of gaining more bonus points on them is higher. There's also a few super truffles that are buried out on the board. So you're ultimately trying to find those. But there are wolves in the forest who are trying to get the pigs. So you're trying to strategically move about the board without getting caught by the wolves. So there are some missions that you're supposed to try and fulfill before your pigs leave the forest. So that is Super Truffle Pigs.
All right, let's be honest. How many of you have hunted truffles before?
Hunted truffles?
No, I have not done truffle hunting.
I'm not big into mushrooms.
I feel like if Katie was here, she'd be on board with me.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So what makes them super truffles? Are they like larger? Or do they give you special powers?
They're money. Truffle mushrooms.
I thought
are
it was
worth
the pigs that were super. I thought they were truffle pigs. And they were super truffle pigs.
Maybe like, there are, because I know that you can get like dogs can smell truffles, and so can pigs. And I've known people who have gone truffle hunting with their dogs and found like huge stashes, big money. I've not yet met a pig truffle hunter.
I don't know what you're saying, Steve. Sorry, I'm not relating. To
truffles are like super expensive in like very fancy restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
And they
I think
grow.
I've eaten a truffle before.
You, right. I think you can grow them like on farms.
Not chocolate truffles.
These no, I think I've had okay. a truffle.
They shave it off.
Truffle oil.
They're like pigs. Yeah, okay. They go try totally and find them in the woods.
Yeah, they just grow in the wild.
They grow in the wild.
You keep saying the word pigs. Explain.
So you can train pigs to find them for you because they're so camouflaged that you're walking around the forest and they.
I don't go in forests anymore.
This is true. He still has
poison ivy.
Poison ivy from going in forests. So I'm out.
You're out.
I apologize. I can't go back into forests. I've gotten that part of my life just. Totally crossed off these days.
The forest is out.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever find a truffle pig, you could get big money.
I don't think I would run across a truffle pig.
not a normal occurrence.
Yeah. I don't think, unless they're shipping them from Portal Games, I don't think I'm going to cross them.
You're lost, but you know, mistakes have been made. And that's what we want to talk about the rest of this episode. We were just commiserating and telling some funny stories earlier this evening, and we thought, let's just, you know, make a whole episode out of this. Ryan, of course, has the best stories, but I think all of us have probably had one or two just board games gone awry experiences, and they're kind of fun to relive and walk through. So
I have one from a friend of mine, and I can't wait to say it.
Sure. Oh yeah, all right. He just looked at Melissa like she should know.
I have no idea.
Mistakes happened, and I was pretty upset.
I can't wait.
No, it's fine. I'll take mine later.
Ryan, you got to kick us off. Tell us the tale.
I'm going to try to make it brief because this was like a 3-hour session that I'm trying to condense.
We're only in 28 minutes, so we're good.
Plenty of time.
I should preface this with, this is general gaming. This isn't just board games. This is actually my RPG group.
Okay, it's still kind of cool. We'll allow it.
We've been playing this game for like 4 years. We're at level 14. Like 20th level is where you normally stop.
Wow.
Normally it's 1 to 20. So we're up there. At this point of the game, like magic is exponentially better than just straight martial characters.
Finally.
And you're almost playing rocket tag. Like whoever goes first, they win because they just kill everything before they can take turns. So one of the characters, not my character, is
who shall go unnamed,
is a monk, and he has an ability called Flurry of Blows, where if you just put him in a bunch of enemies, he like one shot. He can do like 8 hits. Each one kills a dude.
Wow,
it's ridiculous. He's super powered. And so what I've been doing, like I've I'm mainly a magic character, but I know it's super overpowered as well. So I've been buffing him up so that he can shine, and he does more damage than I would do anyway. Right. So I'm like, yeah, sure, you take the hits and you deal
and
it.
And double damage.
I'll just stay over here invisible, and nobody will bother me. So I've been emphasizing the ability to turn things invisible. I also have some actions that allow me to fly and teleport. So
I think we should all observe that this is just Ryan in real life. Kind of stands hidden off sword, buffs everybody else, and he can fly.
That's right. So we're in this game. We picked up from a previous session. It's like a series of catacombs and tombs and stuff. First thing we do is we go down these steps, and a pit trap opens up. And normally for this sort of thing, there's like passive perception. I should say that we all take turns game mastering, and this particular game master ignores passive perception. So it's a little frustrating at times that you have to remember to every few steps. Oh, I perceive. You know, you can't just say I'm constantly looking for traps. Like, that doesn't pass for him. You have to say each step. So we didn't see it. So he's like, ha ha. You fall in a trap.
Gotcha
in a pit. And we're like, well, actually, I mean, I just mentioned I've been flying this whole time, and it's overland flight. It lasts like pretty much all day. It's 15 hours. It's only been a couple hours that we've been in here. So
I'm good to go.
I didn't fall. And then he's like, okay, well, the monk falls. And he's like, well, actually, I've got this slow fall ability where if I'm by a wall, I just sort of float down the side of it. So neither of us get caught by the pit. The monk's at the bottom of the pit, but he's not damaged, you know. And so
he landed safely.
People are launching javelins and stuff at us. I cast a wall of force, so that doesn't bother us anymore.
Right.
And I go invisible and go off to a ledge where they can't reach us. But I had seen where they were over at. The monk also was to safety at this point after killing people, clearing out that ledge so we could both be there. And I teleported us behind them. So he had prepared an ambush for whenever we came, whenever we struggled past the pit to get there. But now we're behind, so we just quickly eliminate them. And then we're exploring. And we're exploring this area. The monk's checking something out. It's the lever or whatever that caused the pit to form. And I'm like, oh, there's a grate here. I can see the other side. So it's actually easier for me to teleport over there because I don't have to visualize it or whatever. I can just see, like, that's where I'm going to go. I want to see what's on the other side of this grate. I probably shouldn't do this without the monk. But, you know, I don't think there's anything over there.
And I'm invincible.
Well, on the other side of this grate is, like, the final boss of the area. Mm. It was actually going to be, like, you know, you're supposed to wonder how to get over there and, like, do a bunch of stuff, finally release the grate. But I just, like, teleported into the midst of this giant ogre thing.
Oops.
And he's torturing this dwarf we were supposed to find.
Whoa.
So there's, like, this bloody dwarf.
Ah!
This giant ogre thing and a bunch of, like, acid-spitting flying leech things that kind of look like the Minox from Empire Strikes Back. And they're all like in this this big.
Jonah's like, I'm out. Whatever.
They're all in this big.
And it's in the forest.
They're covered in poison ivy.
They're all in this swarm around this dwarf. And I see him. I'm like, oh, this is the guy we're supposed to find. If I leave and try to come back.
He's dead.
And my character, like, he's not going to think about it. He tries to save people.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't what the GM was trying to relate. He's like, you should leave.
Run
for it. But I'm like, I'm going to try to get this guy because I can do it. Like, there's a slim chance, but I think I might be able to push through these things.
I can roll a natural 20.
And get him if I do it in, like, the first turn. So I get hit. One of them, like, latches onto me.
No.
But I managed to step just close enough that I can grab him and teleport out.
Mm-hmm.
So I teleport back.
Game over.
And cause a wall of force up so they can't come after us. We deal with the few that are there. They start, whittling down the wall of force, but it's like super powerful.
Right.
It's going to take forever. So we know, like, there's the boss. We're going to buff ourselves up.
Right.
So I'm not buffing myself. I'm like, the monk, you're like living weapon or whatever. So I cast this heroism thing on him that does a bunch of bonuses and haste so he can go faster. And I cast greater invisibility on him, which is better than regular invisibility.
Obviously.
It doesn't last as long, but it doesn't get dispelled. Well, our game master doesn't know how to deal with that. Like, what to do about
right.
it. And I tried to tell him, like, here's some things you can do to mitigate
it. Try to stop
it.
My
like,
sweet skills.
There's some spells and, you know, some basic stuff you could do. Anyway, he just wasn't prepared for us to be teleporting around. The monk has a basic teleporting ability as well. So the monk abundant steps next to the boss and
in the back
steps. And is like ready next turn. He's going to kill him. He's going to one shot him. So the GM knows this and he wanted it to be like more
an
intense.
Epic battle.
So the guy's invisible. He teleported in. He made impressive stealth checks. There's no reason that the guy should think that there's this invisible monk standing right next to him.
Right.
But, you know, the GM wasn't prepared.
I worked so hard for this.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, I decide to swing my sword and attack every space next to me. And I rolled a natural 20. I'm like, well, first, like an area of attack, you don't roll for that. It's a reflex save. So you wouldn't be able to roll a natural 20. And like, why is he attacking?
Are you doing it?
He doesn't even know. He's been around the corner. He hasn't seen all of this.
Right. He's so, looking over that grate where you snuck in.
Yeah. And the monk at this point, it's getting late. Like he's a little bit like, this is contrived, like a rocks fall, everyone dies situation.
Right.
So, you know, his feelings are hurt. Like
you're just
making
me.
This up. You're giving him abilities just to kill me or whatever. And, you know, the GM, he's a little frustrated because we weren't supposed to get there. He'd given
awesome.
Warnings like, don't come any closer. And I had been kind of headstrong, like, well, I got to rescue this guy. Yeah.
Which choice do I have?
Yeah. Some mistakes were made. Like it could have been handled better. And at least like.
So when he actually swung the sword.
Yeah. I mean.
Punch to the face.
he took a bunch of damage that he shouldn't have been able to. Yeah. Anyway, it could have been handled better. And afterwards, we were trying to make it calm down, but we didn't. We didn't, like, sign off a time before some feelings were hurt. And someone was like, well, fine, you just do whatever. Yeah. So, like, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. Because, like, we're all friends here. And you're gonna feel bad
friends.
That you said it. You're going to regret. You're going to regret it. Because you can't take words back.
Right.
Oh, so no. It's just something we're going to have to work on.
Oh.
Make sure we mend those fences.
Counseling session next week.
Yeah, probably should have. I don't think anything I said was wrong in the moment, but the fact that I let it go, like when we first were like, you know, we should just call the night. We should have just called the night then and there. Not
and
been like,
come back next week.
You know, discussing how the session went afterward. That was my mistake. Among the many mistakes that were made.
Give us predictions. You guys are meeting again next week. No, when you guys meeting again? Next
well,
month.
Probably like
6 months.
Yeah, it's probably like 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
I don't know.
Who's the GM next week? Next time?
Oh, I mean, it's going to be the same guy.
Oh, same guy.
Yeah.
He's coming back for vengeance.
We'll see. Yeah.
Revenge of the...
Yeah, it might go very poorly. I don't know. We'll see. We're all pretty mature. In general, when it's not late at night.
Who are we talking about?
So we'll see how it goes. But
you guys are my friends.
If you're listening to this. They just choose to listen to the podcast this week. Yeah. Oh,
so
good.
What kind of stories do you have? And if you're listening, what could I have done better?
Oh, let's learn from this. I like it. Kevin, I'm ready for your story. What do you got?
So Melissa and I were playing at our dining room table, which is actually a pool table. And we were playing a game with a friend who was visiting. Do you know where I'm going?
Oh, yes. This is a different type of
mistake. But we didn't define what mistakes
right.
Any
could mistakes
be.
Could be
Any
made.
Any mistakes could be made. So we were playing a game. I actually don't remember the game that we were playing. Do you remember the game? Mm-hmm. I have no clue what game we were playing. We were playing a game. And so we're at a pool table, and around the pool table we have chairs. Some of them are backed chairs, and mm-hmm. some of them are stools. And
I feel like I know where it's going already. But okay. I have no idea. I don't want to hear that.
So we were playing the game and one of the friends was stretching, and they were like sort of arched their back, and all of a sudden, like they fell backwards, like
whole body.
It was just like I saw it in slow motion. I was like, oh, and all of a sudden, like, and we have a wall
pretty close, yeah,
pretty close to the table there, and he fell against the wall, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, what was that? Like, was the wall like break? Did he go through the wall?
You just scratch the pool table,
right? What happened? And then he gets up and we look underneath where he landed. He landed on Clank Legacy.
Oh no!
Oh, truly a legacy game.
Well, not only this. This is in the middle of we're still in the middle of the campaign. Had not done the review yet of the game.
The box was pretty demolished.
Uh-oh.
Like the whole side of it.
Half of the box was just like, it wasn't just like, oh, we could tape it sort of thing. It was just like crushed.
Crushed. Did we Photoshop that box cover? What do we?
So here's because the box is
it's very a very long box, mm-hmm. So we only put one side of it into the shot.
If you go back to the video and watch the Clank Legacy video that Melissa and I did at a review, you'll see that we only see half the box in the video.
This is the kind of trivia we need.
There you go.
The good news, though, was that he was fine. He didn't hurt himself. The components of the game were fine. Survived. It was just the box. But it was how did you even, fall out of the chair?
Against the wall, to the ground, on the box.
And I even remember putting that box. I was like, oh, I'm just going to put this box over here safely. I wasn't even thinking someone would step on it or fall on it. I was just like, I'm just going to put this box over here because I'm thinking, oh, this is a safe spot. We don't have bunnies in our in our house that go around and nibble cardboard and like that. But anyway, that was mistakes were made in that case.
It's funny and unfortunate. So one of the mistakes that I made was we went to a meetup. There's a meetup website, and a lot of people will post board game events that anybody is kind of interested in or invited to. We actually post our community game nights on Meetup, and a lot of the people that come and join us come from that website. We went to a meetup, Sarah and I kind of didn't know what I was getting into. Obviously, we'd never been to this person's house, and we knew one or two of the other people that were going, and so we thought, this will be pretty fun. We show up at the meetup, and they kind of split pretty quickly into all right, if you're a serious gamer, come over to this table, and if you just want to play Sagrada or Azul or whatever, easy, light games, come over here. And Sarah was like, yeah, that sounds like fun. So she heads off to the fun table.
I taught games all day, and it was wonderful.
Yeah,
had a great time.
Played a half a dozen games, probably.
Yep.
I walked into the other room, and they had Land, Air, and Sea on the table, and I was like, oh, this looks so cool. Like, all these cool cardboard airships and boats, and this is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this. Everybody else also walks into that room, and so there's, I don't know what the max player count is, but we definitely maxed it out. I think we might have even had, expansion additional players or something. There were, eight people playing this game, and the guy explains the game to us. It takes, 25 minutes just to explain the rules, but I thought, oh, okay, well, it still looks simple enough. I'm just trying to, move into other people's territory, a little bit of area control. This has been a couple years ago. I don't even remember how to play the game. But what ends up happening is that 2 hours into the game, I realize, wow, we are not even into a third of the game. One of the guys had the worst analysis paralysis I've ever seen. So with eight players, you had 10, 15 minutes before it got back to your turn anyway. So every time I got back to my turn, I immediately know I've had 10 minutes to plan this. Nothing significantly changed. Boop, boop, boop. My turn is done. Guy after me, you've also had 10 minutes to play. You now take an additional 25 minutes. And he would talk through the things that he couldn't do on his turn. So it would be I don't want to go here because da 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 da. And I probably don't want to do this over here. And I literally is screaming inside. Obviously you don't want to do those things. Do the thing that you want to do. Just do it. Take a turn. I've never been so pent up. I don't know why. I was just it's because I knew it was coming every time. And I would by my fifth turn in the game, I'd be like, all right, my turn. I'm going to do this, this, and this. Done. All right, your turn. Well, let's see. No, don't let's see. 15 minutes ago was let's see. Take your turn. Oh, it was so bad. So I would get up after my turn, go eat pizza, go play a game with Sarah, come back. Still not my turn yet. Oh, gosh. It was just the longest game. I think we played for like 6 or 7.
It was almost 7 hours.
It was the entire time I was there, and I honestly
the only
don't.
Only game Will played.
I honestly don't remember if we finished it. Like, I feel like it didn't end, and we just had to leave. It was so bad.
You're probably the worst person of the whole group for that to happen to, because you like fast, quick games.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, I like a good long game, but when it gets to your turn, just take your turn. Don't walk me through everything you're not going to do. Oh, it was so bad. I did literally, I'm pretty sure, I came and played a game.
You came and played a very short, like,
I don't remember what you were playing, but she was like, we're getting ready to start whatever, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got plenty of time for this game. Played a second game in the other room with her, came back, still not my turn yet. So bad. It was just the longest game I've ever played in my life. It was painful. I don't know.
I was very surprised that everybody at the table who was also very frustrated, you could tell. And
yes.
Everybody was very polite about it.
We were. I didn't yell any of the things that I wanted to yell.
Polite.
It was so long. Oh. I felt like Sarah was going to jump in with a story when you were talking about crushed boxes. And I feel like if she doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'll have to recount the story myself. But
you might have to recount.
You don't know what I'm talking about? No. Steam Court.
Oh,
circa, good one.
Circa 20.
Oh, here it is.
Okay. Jonah, you don't know this one.
Oh, Jonah doesn't even know this story. Okay, so with our Kickstarter campaign.
So we got it all started.
For Steam Court, the one game that we have published in-house from Tantrum House, we decided to add something deluxe, and that ended up being these wooden boxes that Katie and I, like, hand-stained and stenciled.
Bespoke, handcrafted.
Bespoke.
Yes. And we figured it out. Like, we were, like, money-wise, it was fine. Even though it was taking a lot of time.
Right, it didn't cost a lot for the materials.
It didn't cost, yeah, materials were cheap. It just took our time.
Days.
Days and days.
So you guys were staining and adding, like, making these deluxe boxes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have one over there on the shelf. It's pretty cool.
Yes, they were very cool. And they turned out great. And what we ended up selling, like, 2 or 3 times what we anticipated.
Right, we made one.
And like,
we were oh yeah, we could do some of these. And then when we sold 20 or 30 of them, we were like, oh, this is going to
It was over 50.
Yeah, over 50.
I want to say it was
We were
like
making
50.
Regular trips to the hobby stores, clearing them out of all of their stock.
That's right. Yeah.
I remember that.
And special ordering.
I remember going to the hobby stores for
in,
you.
In other states. Drove to other states to clear out their shelves at those stores for these wooden boxes. So, yes. Katie and I spent hours and hours, but we shipped them all out. And
because we love you guys.
Yes. So every couple of mornings, the mail carrier would come, and I'd have this whole pile of boxes. Well, one morning, Will left for work a little bit earlier than normal, I think. And I think that day, the postal worker had messaged me saying they were coming before their route to pick the stuff up. So I rushed outside. I set the boxes just off to the side on the sidewalk, not in the driveway. And Will, I don't know how, went off the driveway onto the sidewalk to back his car out of the garage, totally running over the wooden boxes.
Aimed for him. That's what it looked like. I'm backing my car up. Like, I'm in a hurry. I don't remember where I'm going. And I just ka-thump. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what did I? Like, I literally thought maybe I hit a kid at first. I really was like, no. This is the worst sound I have ever heard. Whose bones did I just break? You pull off forward, peek out the window. Oh. And it was like 3 boxes. I can't remember how many
it was
I ran
three
over.
3 boxes he ran over.
Like, just smashed as terribly as you can imagine. And I walk over. Fortunately, I think only one was really ruined. Did I ruin all 3?
Okay, so 2 boxes were just the game in them. It wasn't a wooden. Wasn't the deluxe wooden box. Just one of them was the deluxe wooden box.
Just smashed to splinters. It looked terrible. And I feel like it was like one of the last ones. Like,
it was like, oh, I remember like the days before Sarah and Katie were like, these are the last ones. We don't have to do this ever again. Oh, yeah.
The very last one going out in the mail.
I have never had so much hatred. In my
I literally had to leave. Like, I could tell she was so mad. I was like, I gotta go to my meeting now.
Over the years, I have seen this.
I heard the sound inside, and I see him, like, out of the driveway, and he, like, pushes him off to the side, like, and he leave. Gets in his car, and he
just leaves. Exactly. Just leave.
I was like, you better leave, just because leave. I'm coming after you.
Running for my life. Just gotta get out of here. Oh, gosh. I think, yeah, as I read over, like, her spirit was just crushed at the same time. The sound I heard was not just the boxes. It was like, Sarah's, I'm going to have to drive to another state to buy another box to send out. Oh, gosh. Guilt. There was serious guilt. Accident didn't look like it. It looked like I aimed for him.
You had to have. Like, they were off to the side. Yeah, it was, I couldn't believe. And I, like, reminded you several times, hey, those boxes are behind your car. They're out of the way, but just so you know.
Maybe. I am glad to know, though, that it's been 6 years, and that was the first time that she forgot about it. I had to, like, remind her. This definitely has come up numerous times.
I have tried to block this entire memory out of my mind because it was, like, so soul crushing.
I think I remember, like, coming that day for something.
Yes. I feel like you
Kevin
were shortly
by
thereafter.
I remember, like, oh, something
laying on the table. I was like, the carcass was spread out over the
I
counter.
I think I was like,
so
picking up games or something. I'm just like, I'm coming and leaving. Yeah.
This is definitely the type of thing where, like, Sarah would do something terrible, and I'd be like, I can't believe you did that, and she'd be like, Team Court box. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You win. I got nothing. Jonah, you got any terrible
come to mind,
mistake?
Jonah?
Jonah's still kicking it on the...
I don't have I don't play games with terrible
repercussions. People.
No, I don't have any super terrible mistakes.
Just poison ivy. That's the biggest
mistake. Yeah, that's my biggest mistake. Walking into a forest. I don't have any good stories. I had a friend. We were playing a party type game, and he broke a glass cup on a glass table.
Ooh,
it was tough.
Is that an anger moment or just accidentally?
It was
like
an anger. It was an anger moment.
Oh, you do.
It was too much. It was my glass table. I was upset because I thought he broke the table at first. It was a whole thing. Mm. But then I stopped playing games with him because I was like, no.
Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah. No, I don't think I have.
We'll accept.
No family holiday. Just no. The normal level.
Well, my family is always like
crazy.
Not crazy. We're like mean to each other when we play games.
Right, right.
So it's not even like mistakes or like crazy. It's just
purpose.
How we play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real vindictive and
right. All part of the experience.
Yeah, all part of the experience. So no, I don't think I have any.
We have some friends who are playing Wii in the general gaming experience. Mm-hmm. Wii. You know, the original Wii with the handhelds. Yeah. They were playing their Wii, and their boys were playing, and I don't think their wrist straps were on properly.
That'll do it.
And yeah. Slipped out and right into the TV.
Oh.
I saw the TV afterwards. It was
bullet hole through.
I mean, you know, the new whatever HD plasma, whatever. Like, it is not like it looks cracked. But it's not, like, if you run your hand over it, it's
not actually
it's smooth, yeah. But the whole inside is all, and it was literally destroyed. Yeah. They couldn't even turn it on anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what the grand total is on that. Somebody has tallied somewhere.
The number of TVs destroyed by Wii. That's why they went to the Switch, right?
I think so. You got it. Oh, too funny. Well, if you guys have any great stories that you need to share with us, we are all ears. You can send us your great stories at sarah@tantrouse.com because she loves reading.
Hey, I've got some great suggestions from last episode with
good job.
Some of the gaming stuff we'd like to see happen during our
12-hour.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and let us know how you handle those difficult situations, interpersonal relationships.
That's right. Cool stuff. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will have some great episodes coming up soon because we're going to be talking about Gen Con and some of the other events that we've got coming up.
Yep.
And we'll be looking forward to celebrating that Kickstarter again one more time if you didn't check that out. We are on Kickstarter right now, Season 8. You can find it at kickstarter.tantrumhouse.com. We'd love to have you guys' support. It'll help us feel better about all the terrible gaming mistakes that we have made. Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.